Blog Talk Radio.
Who the fuck is this? Paging me at 5:46 in the morning. Crack of dawning, now I'm yawning. Wipe the cold out my eyes. Who's this paging me and why? It's my nigga Pop from the barbershop. Told me he was in the gambling spot and heard the intricate plot. A niggas wanna stick me like fly paper, neighbor. Slow down, love, please chill, drop the paper. Remember them niggas from the hill up in Brownsville that you rolled dice with? Yeah, my nigga Fame up in Prospect. Nah, them my niggas, nah, love wouldn't disrespect.
I didn't say them, they schooled me to some niggas that you knew from back when you was clocking minor figures. Now they heard you blowing up like nitro, when they wanna stick the knife through your windpipe slow. So, thank Fame for warning me, cause now I'm warning you. I got the Mac, nigga, tell me what you gonna do.
Damn, niggas wanna stick me for my paper. Damn, niggas wanna stick me for my paper. Damn, niggas wanna stick me for my paper. Damn, niggas wanna stick me for my paper.
They heard about the Rolexes and the Lexus with the Texas license plates out of state. They heard about the pounds you got down in Georgetown, and they heard you got half Virginia locked down. They even heard about the clip you bought your mom up Florida, the fifth corridor.
Call the coroner. It's gonna be a lot of slow singing and flower bringing if my burglar alarm starts ringing. What you think all the guns is for? All-purpose war, got the Rockwellers by the door. And I feed them gunpowder so they can devour the criminals trying to drop my decimals. Damn, niggas wanna stick me for my cream, and it ain't a dream, things ain't always what it seems. It's the ones that smoke blunts with ya, see your picture. Now they wanna grab their guns and come and get ya. Bet your Biggie won't slip. I got the calico with the black talons loaded in the clip, so I can rip through the ligaments. Put the fuckers in the bad predicament where all the foul niggas went. Touch my Chetta, feel my Beretta. Fuck when I'ma hit you with your motherfuckers, better duck. I bring pain, blood stains on what remains of his jacket. He had a gun, he should've packed it, cocked it. Extra clips in my pocket so I can reload and explode on your asshole. I fuck around and get hardcore. C4 to your door, no beef no more, nigga. Feel the rough, scandalous. The more we smoke, I puff, the more dangerous. I don't give a fuck about you or your weak crew. What you gonna do when Big Papa come for you? I'm not running, nigga, I bust my gun and hold on, I hear somebody coming.
Come in fast again. Just
put
the fucking ass on, come on. You getting close, huh?
It's right over here.
You sure it's Biggie Smalls' crib, man?
I'm sure, motherfucker, come on.
You better be his motherfucking house.
Yeah.
You better be this motherfucker's house.
Oh, shit.
What? What's wrong?
That red dot on your head, man.
What red dot? Oh, shit. You got a red dot on your head, too. Oh, shit.
Yep, yep, yep. Welcome to another edition of Detroit Sports Rap. I am your host, Big C, coming to you solo tonight on a late night Wednesday edition, a real quick edition. We've been real busy this week, but we wanted to give you guys a little something this week, because there's a lot of things happening. We didn't want to miss out on them. So, got me tonight, Wednesday night, 10 o'clock, locked and loaded. Let's get right into it. Our Tigers waved the white flag for the first time in a long time, decided they're going to be sellers at the trade deadline, trading possibly David Price, Yoenis Cespedes, Yoenis Soria, amongst others. Possibly Rozzy Davis as well. It's over. 3 games under 500 with 60 to go. 12.5 games out of first place. 8.5 games. I'm sorry, 7 games out of the wild card as we stand today right now. Officially out of the game, man. I don't know what happened. It was a kind of a plethora of things, really. I don't want to assign blame, but when I look at the whole situation, we got injuries first and foremost that really
kind of got us off to a bad start. Verlander missed most of the first half of the season. Victor Martinez missed an exorbitant amount of time. We also had injuries, as like currently right now, to Alfredo Simon and his groin, and the other players, and it really, really messed up our continuity. We weren't able, I think, to really establish good chemistry. We got off to a great start. Maybe those first 25, 30 games were really, really exciting, but after that, things started to go downhill. I think there's some blame to be put a little bit on Dombrowski, who did put this team together. He brought in Alfredo Simon, who was up and down, and we knew that he possibly could be. He was coming off a solid year last year, but this is kind of what he did. It started off kind of hot, then kind of, you know, had a little tailspin at the end of the year. He brought in Shane Green, who has proven to be someone who was inconsistent and not ready for the big time, had a real inconsistent year. I'm not going to say not ready for the big time, but had an inconsistent year and has been a failure, basically, as a free agent signing or trade acquiring for us. You couple that with some up and down outings by Annabelle Sanchez, who has since kind of, you know, settled in, and Verlander's injury, and you have a rotation that's really mediocre at best. Inconsistent offensive production. Some of it due to injuries to V-Mart, some of it due to just, you know, being inconsistent out there, not being really able to put up runs. Miggy's been hurt and is going to still be out for some weeks, even though they say his recovery is speedy. I wonder what they're going to get for these guys. You know, you look for David Price, and I know he's a great pitcher. A contender is probably going to come looking for him. He probably can net you a player for next year. It's possibly another prospect or two. But knowing that, saying that this is the end of the run, or are we trying to really, really step back out here in 2016? If we're going to get all prospects, I know it's going to free up some money. It's going to be allow us to be able to sign some guys in free agency. But if we're going to be, you know, getting prospects, which I am a proponent of because the farm system is depleted. But what does that leave us for next year? That's going to be an interesting question. I wish my homie L was here to kind of back and forth with me, but that's an interesting question for you guys out there. Where will we be next year in terms of our rotation? We're not going to have Price, it looks like. Annabelle Sanchez, Verlander. We're going to need two or three starters. So I think if any of these moves, anticipated moves happen, we have to net one or two starters for possibly next year, maybe a bullpen person as well. And possibly you know, a potential ace somehow. You know, maybe not next year. I'm not saying, not next year, but maybe two or three years on the line, a guy that we can start developing into another ace. Because right now we're kind of devoid of that. Surprising, you know, Ausmus. I'm not going to put too much blame on him. We know who we got when we got him. A young guy who showed a lot of promise but had not managed on the major league level before. So I expect some slip-ups, some downfalls by him. Probably the cost of three or four games a year for his first couple years. But, you know, I think really injuries kind of really ravaged the team. That's unfortunate. It's going to be interesting seeing how the destruction, I guess, of a solid team goes down. And we got some still questions after, if you say if we lose a Cespedes and or a David Price, you know, the field, you know, definitely have to replace those guys. But we got some definitely questions with Miggy, who, you know, well, it's not a question, but he's getting a little older now. What's the succession plan there? V-Mart, he's getting a little older, starting to show chinks in his armor. What's the succession plan there? Definitely got to take a look at those guys. Sad day, but 60 games left. I have tickets to the game on August 6th, and I'm going to go out there and try to cheer my Tigers on and have a great experience at Comerica Park. I know this is a tough day for the Illich family, because they've been really trying their hardest to put a, you know, winner on the field for themselves and for the city of Detroit. And they spared no expense and tried to put it together, but it just hasn't happened. Some interesting things about Dombrowski, you know, will he be around to see these young prospects that they possibly can get from these anticipated moves blossom into pro players and be the GM? There's been some talk that a couple teams have been very, very interested in him. He's been here a long time. He's had a nice little run. I don't know, but I will be ready to see him go. I think he can win. I think he's been a victim of circumstance once or twice for the players. But with that said, is it time for him to go? Are you satisfied or dissatisfied overall with the job that he did? And how much of it would it bother you if he went to another team and won in the next 3 or 4 years, the whole thing, the World Series, and pull off a feat he couldn't do, you know, in his tenure here? Very, very interesting. But let's keep it moving. Let's keep it moving. We're going to keep it light tonight. Like I said, it's just myself. I'm going to go right into college football. Got Michigan and Michigan State getting ready to kick it on off this season. Getting ready for report to camp, first week of August. Michigan, rebuilding the program, new head coach, new coaching staff, instituting new offenses and defenses. A lot of buzz has been made about Jim Harbaugh returning to Michigan. I'm excited as a Michigan fan as well. Michigan State, returning a lot of talent from a team that was ranked in the top 10 by most, top 5 by a lot. Last year at the end of the season, they returned Connor Cook, a very experienced and talented quarterback, a guy who's going to be a first-round pick possibly next year in the who's most likely going to be a first-round pick next year in the NFL draft. A host of defenders with experience and talent and speed. Very, very exciting team. I think they're going to start the year probably in the top 10 with real, real, real potential to get in that top 4 playoff. Some interesting camp battles I think are going to be coming up. We're going to talk with Michigan State since they have so much, I think, on the line. I think the position battle at the cornerback spot is going to be key. They definitely need to replace two players the last 2 years who've gone on and been first-round draft picks, and Trey Waynes and Darcelius Denard. They have a couple guys back there who have shown some ability and shown some real skill, but also shown a few little chinks here and there. So it's going to be imperative that they really, really tighten up their pass defense. I think that's the whole key to that defense. That's the weak link to that defense right now. So if they can get some guys back there who can be playmakers on that back end, they can put another dominant defense out there on the field. When we talk about also a key position for them, and I think it's very interesting now, is the running back position. They have to replace some guys at the wide receiver spot. There's a number of guys there. That's another key position battle. We'll talk about that a little bit later in another edition. But the running back spot has been really, really steady for so many years. We saw Javon Ringer. We saw Edwin Baker. We saw Le'Veon Bell. We saw Langford. All these guys go on to have NFL careers. And now it's kind of like we don't know what's going on. Got Madre London and Gerald Holmes, who kind of battled it out in spring practice. We got Delton Williams, who was suspended, who now has been reinstated to the team. And then we got L.J. Scott, who's a big-time recruit out of Ohio, who looks the part as a real stud. I've been on record and saying I think L.J. Scott is going to be one of the top two backs on this team by the end of the year, maybe by the middle of the year, maybe the lead back. He has tremendous talent. But Delton Williams is a guy that we saw a little bit of his last couple of years, and he's intriguing. He's a big guy. He has some kind of, you know, has good vision, a little speed, a little wiggle to him, toughness, can run through tackles, can also make some guys miss and some decent speed. So I think he's going to really, really tighten up the competition at that running back spot, and that's going to be key. His kind of Cooks need some balance in his game. He's a great passer, but he really does best when he's working off play action and has the ability to keep himself in favorable down and distance situation. So that's going to be key that they develop that running game. Feel like Michigan, they have a lot of holes and a lot of positions where there's going to be a lot of competition at. But I think the key they have to develop is the running back position as well. They have Derrick Green, they have Devion Smith, they have Drake Johnson, who's recovering from an ACL injury. Ty Isaac is a guy that, you know, I don't want to say intrigues me because I haven't really seen him, but I want to see what he can do because everyone is talking about 6'1", 225 pounds, 230 pounds, nice speed to him, a little wiggle, but he's had some injury problems, couldn't stay really healthy at USC and has had some problems since he's been here at Michigan. I didn't see him in the spring game, so I don't really have, you know, really anybody at work to look at him and evaluate him. But out of those four guys,
Expect one or two of those guys to be the main guys who are carrying the load for Brett for the Wolverines. And it's imperative, though, because Harbaugh likes to bang it out, and it's key that you have an effective running game to complement the play-action pass game and his pro-style offense. Another position that's going to be really key is going to be the wide receiver spot. You have Darboe and Chasen, who are the seniors, going to get the, you know, have the most experience, and definitely going to probably get the first shot at being those first two guys on the outside. But they also have been there for 4 years and haven't made an impact as of yet. So you can definitely see some of these younger guys getting an opportunity to get in the mix and make some plays. Guys like Maurice Ways, Kirk Harris, if he can stay healthy out there. Brian Cole, the new freshman recruit out of Saginaw. I think it's also key that they get a little bit of production out of that slot spot. The young man out of Maryland was supposed to give him a little bit of that last year. He kind of fizzled a little bit. Don't know the status of Northfleet. So we have to keep an eye on that. But those are going to be key positional battles for both of those teams. On the defensive side of the ball for Michigan, the cornerback spot for them. Again, these teams mirror each other, I think. Not really in talent. Michigan State has been doing their thing over there and they have experience as well for the knees. You have Jordan Lewis who's going to play at one spot, and I also thought that the young man out of Highland Park had another year of eligibility left, but he doesn't. So that other corner spot is wide open. So Mr. Lyons, who transferred from Stanford, is predicted to be the starter out there. But Channing Stribling is a big guy on the outside. You can see how, you know, possibly make some plays. So definitely watch that cornerback spot. Jabril Preppers is a guy who can swing back down the corner if need be. They have some younger guys who they have to work in and some guys coming in who can be possibly, you know, speed, height guys can come and make an impact on that secondary. So you definitely have to look out for what's going on at the Michigan secondary. I want to talk a little bit about, I know the rankings, no official rankings are coming up, but I'm trying to think to myself, what teams out here are going to be, you know, who return are going to be kind of the top teams. You know, you look at Ohio State, they have Ezekiel Elliott coming back along with both of those wide receivers, and now Braxton Miller's going to play wide receiver over there, or H-back for them. They've become a very, very dangerous team. You know, Urban Meyer has done great recruiting, and he has a good team, a good base of talent there in Ohio. So I think they're going to be definitely probably the number one ranked team and looking to repeat. Number two is where it's going to be the question mark. I have a couple of teams that I think I really, really like. I really like TCU with the quarterback, Heisman, trophy candidate quarterback coming back. David Patterson generally coaches good defense, although last year they were kind of fell off the map. But we know that the Big 12, they're really, really slaying the football over there. So definitely got to watch those guys over there. But I expect them to be a big, big-time player. And I also expect Alabama to be a big-time player. But, you know, with Alabama, they always lose a lot. And it's like, how do they retool? But they always seem to retool. Look at that quarterback spot. Blake Sims is no longer there. T.J. Yeldon is not the running back, but he had become the second running back, kind of second fiddle running back to Mr. Henry anyway. There's a lot of talent there at Alabama. Even though Nick can coach defense. They lost some defensive talent, but they've retooled. They've recruited very, very well in the last couple of years, and they're talented. So I'm going to slide in there just because of the respect factor. But TCU being number three, they're going to have to shore up some of their defensive deficiencies to be, you know, get higher on this list. And actually, the 4 and 5 spots is really tough. I think that Oregon-Ohio State game is going to be a barn burner early in the season. Both these guys are going to get a chance to really, really knock one of them right off of course for the national championship. Michigan State went to avenge that loss. They went out to UGA and they had a great 2.5 quarters of football, and then they kind of collapsed in the end. They want to show that they're national power, and that game is going to be on national TV. That's a great statement game at Michigan State for them to really show that, hey, we have arrived. We're on their big-time stage. Please fear us. We are the Spartans. So if they can get that game, that win, breaking in Oregon, who's going to have a new quarterback, so they're prime. And Ryan to get pop. So that's a big game for him. We look forward to that game. going into the NFL, where there's been a lot of action going on. We're going to talk about our Lions, first of all, who opened up camp this week. The rookies have been there. There's a couple of rookies who I really, really am interested in seeing what type of impact they make out there on the field. When you look at one of them, the first two picks obviously jump out at you. Lincoln Tomlinson, who's going to get a shot to start at the offensive guard position, and Amir Abdullah. Those guys are looked upon to be possible either starters or big-time contributors on the offensive side of the football. Abdullah, running back, has the ability to catch the ball in the backfield. He's going to be possibly involved in a return game. He's looking to possibly see either split time or become 1A in the running back tandem with Joyc Bell, who has been battling some injuries with his knee and his Achilles. He sat out all of the OTAs and the minicamp. And now he's been placed on the PUP list, so Mr. Abdullah gets the first shot at being the lead back out there, and I think that's very, very key, and I hope he takes advantage of it because he can make a big impression on the coaching staff if he shows that he can be a full-time guy who can tote the ball and not turn it over. That was been his Achilles heel in Nebraska, fumbling the ball 21 times in his 4 years there, in his 3 years there. Tomlinson is being asked to shore up the middle of the offense. He's going to play offensive guard. He's got Larry Warford on one side. Travis Swanson is getting his first year full-time starter at center. He's been asked to basically, shore up the left side of the line and be a key cog in the running game. Looks the part from college. We'll see what he can do in the pros. A couple guys go in the secondary. Quadri Diggs, who's been pretty much one of the most impressive, impressing the coaches. Haven't seen him for myself. I have to look at him. But hearing a lot about him and his quest to be the nickelback, he's very, very much in the mix with Josh Wilson, who's the seasoned veteran, and Nevin Lawson, who has had some foot injury problems. And, I don't know if he's healthy enough to really get out there and play right now. They did sign a couple guys off of other teams, or from the free agents, I should say, to come in and add some depth. So I don't know if he's 100% healthy or not, but he's going to have to really get himself there because this will be his second year and vying for that last that nickelback or that dime position. It's going to be tough. Other news, Kaster Chairless, cut by the Indianapolis Colts yesterday, former offensive right tackle for the Lions. Visiting the Lions, possibly. Could a reunion be in place? That right tackle spot has been a problem spot for us. Adrian Waddle, who was penciled in as the starter last year, who was injured, been injured all offseason. There's an ACL injury. He's going to start the camp on all the PUP. Cornelius Lucas, who's played all of the offseason at that right tackle spot, is getting all the reps right now. But Gosha Chairless could be an upgrade over him. And possibly a reunion could possibly be in place. Stay tuned on that. Speaking on a PUP list, complete list of guys on the Joyc Bell, Jason Jones, starting defensive end. So that opens up a little bit of a space for guys like Larry Webster, who didn't play much last year but has come back bigger, stronger, and faster. Supposedly can get a spot. Devin Taylor, who took a step back, in my opinion, last year, as in second year, to get some time over at that defensive end spot and show if they're ready to play. Allenstein's going to have to play real big this year, along with Nada. Gabe Northern is going to have to be able to be an adequate change of pace guy, give those guys a breather up there. So that defensive line and the Lions are starting to, kind of take shape. Can they replace the Donovan Sue? It's the real, real deal question. I don't think so, man. I don't think so. But I still think they'll be, solid. We'll see. Let's talk a little bit about but some of the other going on. I'm sorry. Alex Carter, third round pick, cornerback out of Stanford. A guy who's big time size wise, 6 feet, over 200 pounds, possibly can be a safety. He gives you another option on the outside. When you look at Rashawn Mathis, he's in his, I don't want to say his last year because we keep saying it's his last year and he keeps coming back. But you look at a guy who's, 35 years old, he is in, in the twilight of his career.
And you might want to develop another big cornerback over there with some athletic skills to get it done. You have Slay, who's, you know, a little over or right at 6 feet or a little over 6 feet, and there's a physical guy over there. He gives you a guy who can play on the outside. Looks like all the seems like all the other corners that we have for the most part are the smaller size guy. Say I think is a bigger guy, but I think he's more of a, I don't know if he's ready for a real big role on defense as a starter or maybe nickelback. I think he's more of a dime quarter and a special teams type of guy right now. But you need that big guy to constantly, you know, get in there and play on that outside. And if he can have the speed to run with those guys, you know, why not develop? And he could be a safety as well. Some other guys to look at, Michael Burton possibly being the fullback, fifth-round pick. Sleeper type guy who can play special teams on all the coverage teams and be your starting fullback, get good value with him. So look for him to make an impact out there. Now, Mr. Brady, Mr. Tom Brady, Mr. All-American, everybody knows I'm a Brady fan. The decision came down from Mr. Goodell. They upheld his four-game suspension. They said that basically the problem was that he did not cooperate, but not only did not cooperate, possibly was part of a cover-up because his phone was subsequently destroyed, which, you know, no one had knowledge of that prior to this, but the NFL stood strong, man. I'm not going to lie. I didn't expect that from them. I didn't expect that from them. I expected to be some type of reduction of maybe two games to none, but then I heard that, if, you know, Tom kind of felt like, you know, if he was getting any games, it was going to be a problem. He was going to, you know, take legal action. So that kind of ended the, you know, any talks about any settlements of anything. But I'm proud of the NFL because, you know, when you get the, you know, you add into the situation where they say his phone was destroyed, that's a situation where there could be a cover-up done. That's a situation where they had subpoenaed your phone or asked you, not subpoenaed it, but asked you that, you know, for you to, you know, subjected to a search of some sort for evidence, and you say no or whatever, and all of a sudden the phone is gone. I think that's a problem, man. And for me, as a fan of Tom Brady, I can kind of see where it kind of went awry. I already knew the lack of cooperation was going to hurt him as well. But now that you destroy the phone, destroy the evidence, that doesn't sit right. And it's not like, you know, I heard he said you destroyed all your phones, and I'm like, okay, maybe it's a celebrity thing. But then they said they found one or two phones, you know, that you had still in your possession once you switched over. And I don't know, one of them, maybe your Batcave phone, I don't know. But I can't lie, man, I'm feeling kind of shaky about, you know, why you destroyed the phone, man. And I think that, you know, the four games may be there. You know, per your statement, you said you switched phones. When you switched your Samsung to an iPhone 6, and after your lawyers told the NFL that it was not going to be subjected to a search, I don't think the NFL took, you know, too lightly to that. Like, well, you know, we're looking at you. We're asking for your phone. You're telling us it's not going to be subjected to it. That's fine. But before we can even subpoena it and get to this level, because you're going to talk about that you want, you know, take it to the legal level, that you destroy the phone. I wonder if they can retrieve them like they did with Kwame. Now, that would be interesting. If they can retrieve his message like they did with Kwame, that would be very, very interesting to see what were on those 10,000 text messages on that phone. Very interesting to see. Because, you know, applaud the NFL. Applaud them. Applaud them, applaud them, applaud them. Let's clap my hands. Applaud the NFL for sticking to their guns on Mr. Brady and giving him four games. What does that mean for the New England Patriots? I mean, it's going to be tough. Their first game, you know what? Pittsburgh is not going to have Le'Veon Bell, and they're not going to have Tom Brady. It's still going to be a bang of a game, probably. Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, I don't know if he's ready or not, but the Pittsburgh defense is a young, developing defense, and they need a young guy to possibly feed on and get some confidence going for them. So, you know, I'm picking Berg in that game very early. But I wouldn't be surprised if Garoppolo makes a great showing for himself. I mean, he, you know, definitely impressed the Belichick hierarchy down there. And, you know, he's had a year to set behind Tom Brady. He's kind of been anointed the heir apparent. I know they didn't think it was going to be this year, but he has four games to do it. They probably end up 1-4, or 1-3, or 2-2 or something. They were 1-3 last year with Tom, so it won't be too much worse with him. And then they go from there. When you look at, it's definitely a blow to miss 1-4 for the season. And I'm going to tell you, with that in place right now, I'm going to tell you, I think Miami may win the division, maybe with a 10 or 11 win season if they can get there. New England's going to probably be in that 9-10 area because I think of these four games. And then at that point, we'll see how it goes. But don't ever count New England out. Tom, I'm a little disappointed in the situation, but hey, if things happen. No one's ever perfect. So you trying to portray that image or you worried about that image, you're still going to be, you know, revered. What was funny, we said last week that your jersey is still, for the first time in your career, the number one selling jersey. So, I mean, you're still getting your thing, man. You're still getting, you know, you're still much well-respected and making money for the league. So they didn't want to sit you down, man, but it kind of had to go that way, man. But unfortunately, it is what it is. So Le'Veon Bell, his suspension was reduced from 3 games to 2. I guess that's definitely good for him. I think Pittsburgh definitely sorely definitely missed him last year in the playoff game that he was hurt his knee and he was able to play, wasn't able to play. I think that was a key factor, and they lost to Baltimore. I think with him out there on the field, he gives them another dimension, somebody who can, you know, attack a defense running or through the air, tremendous in the open field and tremendous in the red zone. But I digress. He wasn't there. 2 games for them, I think that helps them. The less, you know, the least amount of games that he has to sit out, the better it is for Pittsburgh. Developing defense, if they play up to their potential, they can be solid defensively. But offensively, I think they have the makings of a great, great team. I want to say right now, Pittsburgh is probably having the deepest and the best wide receiver core when you look at from the top to bottom. When you look at Antonio Brown, who looks like he's definitely in the top 5 receivers in the league. Martavius Bryant, who's a developing talent. Marcus Wheaton, who's also a developing talent. Probably, I think, both of those guys are under 25 years old, if I'm not mistaken. Tre Archer, who's a guy who can be playing running back as well as wide receiver. Tremendous speed, 4.2 speed. He's a great talent. They drafted Sam Coates out of Auburn, who was a big body size guy, racial guy, 6'1", 210 pounds. He ran sub 4.4 times. Hands a little bit suspect, but a guy who can get down the field and really, really fly. You put that along with the Heath Miller and Le'Veon Bell, and you have the makers of a solid, solid offense over there. They've come out and said that they want to score 30 points a game. Hint, hint, hint for all fantasy owners, you might want to look at them. Quarterback, wide receivers, whatever. Look at those guys. A couple of those guys may surprise you. I think he made some Super Bowl contenders if that defense can step it up. And he's healthy. That defense can step it up. He makes some Super Bowl contenders. He does that. Without him, they don't have a shot. Let's talk briefly about the fantasy moments. I'm starting to break down a little bit. And we're going to talk squarely about Mr. Brady. His effect for 4 games, him not being in there, I think definitely drops him probably from a 5th to 6th round pick quarterback to a, you know, people are going to say 11th, 12th round, but the reality of it is people are going to love to have him on their team as a possibility as either your starting quarterback after the first 4 games, especially if you wait on a quarterback and you're not sure you're getting one of the top guys anyway. You would love to get Brady as your backup. Also, for those guys who get one of the top guys and feel confident in him, you love to have Brady as your backup for a trade chip. So The first things people are saying, you can get him in the 11th or 12th round. Well, okay, maybe in a group of, you know, young, inexperienced guys. But, I mean, I would look for him anywhere between 8 and 10. I would drop him 2 to 3 rounds possibly. 8, 10 is what I would definitely look for, Tom Brady. And like I said, he's going to be angry when he comes back. Hopefully not too rusty. He's got some solid weapons around him. Hopefully they're not going to be beat up and hurt. And I would definitely invest in him. When you look at Edelman and LaFell, not knowing what you're going to get in Garoppolo, I instantly try to drop them a little bit. I think Edelman's a little bit overrated anyway. I think Edelman has good ability in the PPR. He's going to catch a lot of balls. But overall, he's not going to pull up, you know, saying great. Huge numbers. I'm not saying he's not, but he hasn't really put up great, you know, big, huge numbers. I think he's an 80 to 100 catch guy for anywhere from 800 to 1,000 yards, maybe 3 to 5 touchdowns, which isn't bad, but we don't know. I think really he's an 800 to 900 yard guy with 3 to 5 touchdowns somewhere. Brandon LaFell, I think, is another guy who can give you 800 to 900 yards receiving. He's a big play guy, though, so he's going to get his own 50 to 60 catches. 5 to 7 touchdowns. Gronk is the big guy here, probably over give you anywhere between 900 to 1,200 yards, anywhere between 8 to 12 touchdowns, and be all over the place. So I think his value stays the same. I don't think he comes down. A lot of times a young quarterback, a tight end, is his best friend, and one that's talented as Gronk, big as he is, and how he's able to get open is going to be nothing but a blessing for Mr. Garoppolo. So I keep him the same way it is. Now we look at Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell, in my opinion, I have myself had this really, and I'm not going to lie to you, it's crazy. I had really decided that I wasn't going to draft him unless he fell outside of the top 7 backs. I knew it really wasn't going to happen, so I'm like, okay, I'm not going to get him. Based on a 3-game, not a 2-game. It's not. I mean, it's only 1 game difference, and I felt that, you know, really I kind of relaxed after maybe top 5. But now with the 1 game or 2 game suspension, the 1 game reduction, I do feel that he's definitely in that top 3 conversation, possibly even top 1. Yeah, you know, you're going to have 2 weeks without him, but when you get him back, he's going to play so well for you. If you can get a couple other players on your team who can put up numbers, I mean, it'd be great to have him. So you don't want to be the guy who passed him up, man. So it's crazy. He can be right back into that number 1 conversation and definitely top 3 consideration for sure. Love the talent. There's a lot of other talent around him in terms of other players. So it's going to be hard for teams to really drop into 8 or 9-man boxes. And he can do other things in terms of catching the football. So he's a guy who's definitely dangerous. And I think he's definitely in that conversation. I definitely have him in my top 3. After AP, I mean, really, where do you go? I'm just trying to pair him with another good running back. And a solid, you know, collection of players. Guys who can put up some points. Deep sleepers. I said deep because these guys really haven't had a defined role. They're playing behind maybe somebody who may be a little bit of fragile and really have the ability to surprise. So my deep sleepers, number 1, is this guy, David Johnson, from Arizona Cardinals. Why do I have him there? Because he's a big guy, 6 feet, 225 pounds. He has good speed, 4-5 speed. He has the ability to be a return man in terms of the kickoff returns. He's a solid receiver out of the backfield. And when you look at Arizona and Bruce Arians, they love to use, number 1, to run the ball if possible. They love to use their running backs in the passing game a little bit. See Rashard Mendenhall in some of his days in Pittsburgh, not greatly involved, but somewhat involved, and they love to pound it. Now, what they have over there is Andre Ellington, who's a solid back, a solid change of pace back, in my opinion, guy who can come in a third down and catch the ball, so you can line him up in a slot, he can be dangerous. He's shown that he can carry the ball 15, 20 times a game, but his longevity is not really that long doing that. I think he kind of excels in an 8 to 12 carry type situation where he's targeted 4 to 7 times a game, hopefully getting 4 or 5 catches a game. So, and he keeps his touches to 14 to 17 touches. So I think that opens up the door for a big back around the goal line and another first and second down, getting 15, 16 touches as well. This is where David Johnson comes in. He was a fourth-round pick. He's from Northern Iowa, a smaller school, but he has great ability. Another guy I'm going to say about is Jalen Strong, and you may know his name. He was projected to be a first or early second-round pick in the June draft. In the April draft, May, whatever it was. But he fell. He fell to the third round to the Houston Texans. They have a solid number one receiver now. I'm replacing Andre Johnson over there. That number 2 and 3 spot is wide open. Martin is over there as well from Michigan State. But that number 3 spot with Jalen Strong, because the guy was 6'4", 220 pounds, and ran a sub 4.5 time at the 40, in the 40 at the combine, makes him a very, very dangerous guy. And a guy who can probably come in and play the Andre Johnson possession role, receiver. So definitely look, for those guys in your fantasy leagues. Another guy that I really, really like is, he's rated slightly high. I don't know if he's going to, fall down at all. Is that Nelson Aguilar? Spot, wide receiver, Philadelphia. I'm going to tell you, I like it because he's played against the pro-style offense, so he knows the route tree. He's played against Oregon. Oregon's played against him. So Chip has had a chance to even scout this guy a little bit. And we saw what Macklin and now Jordan Matthews was able to do last year. Jordan can step into that number one spot, and this guy can step into that number two spot, and I think he's a little bit more dynamic than what Matthews was at the number two spot. So he may eat into Matthews' production a little bit better, I think, more deep speed, a little bit more dynamic after the catch. So you have to definitely watch him out there as somebody who can be an explosive wide receiver 3 or flex option for you, bye week starter. It's always good to have those guys available. Then once the bye week's over, if those guys are still kind of doing their thing, it's called trade bait. That's what I'm talking about. I think that's all I'm going to give you guys tonight. I wanted to give you a little something this week. We had a real busy week. Thank you guys for tuning in. I gave you 45 good minutes. We're going to go out here to this biggie. Check us out next week. Hopefully we're back at our regular time, but I'll let you know. Remember, if you don't have any passion for anything else, please have a passion for life and a passion for sports. Go on out here with this biggie. Have a great week. Happy 20 years to Cash Tech. Holla at me.
Baby, look at me. Mama love you. And I know you ain't no little boy no more, but you'll always be my baby. Like only yesterday, I was holding you in my arms. Now look at you now, big man. But I worry about you. I worry about you all the time. Hanging out on the corner all times of night with the cool people. Baby, that ain't nothing but trouble. I always taught you that you could have whatever you dream. Well, I want you to hold on to that dream, baby. Hold on to it real tight. Because the sky's the limit.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. How's everybody doing tonight?
All right.
I'd like to welcome
all
to the
right.
stage all the lyrically right. acclaimed.
Woo.
I like this young man because when he came out with the phrase, he went from ashy to classy.
All right.
I like that.
All right.
So everybody in the house, give a warm round of applause for the Notorious B.I.G. The Notorious B.I.G., ladies and gentlemen. Give it up for him, y'all. A nigga never been as broke as me. I like that. When I was young, I had two pair of leaves. Besides that, the pinstripes in the gray. The one I wore on Mondays and Wednesdays. While niggas flirt, I'm throwing tigers on my shirt and alligators. You wanna see the inside? I see you later. Here come the drama. Oh, that's that nigga with the fake. Wow, why you punch me in my face? Stay in your place, play your position. Here come my intuition. Go in this nigga pocket, rob him while his friends watch it. That hoes clock. Here comes respect. His crew's your crew, or they might be next. Look at they man eyes, big man, they never try. So we roll with them, stole with them. I mean loyalty, niggas bought me milks at lunch. The milks with chocolate, the cookies, butter crunch. 88, eyes tossed and blue and white stuff, that's blunt.
I really know that you keep on, just keep on trying.
The limit, motherfucker. See you on top.